blessings that you give us and you continue to bless us with every day. And as Gina said, Lord, I thank you for the lost. I thank you for the ones that are running from you right now. I thank you that your hand is on them and your provision is over them. And I thank you, Lord, that as much as they try to run, Lord, they can't ignore that little voice that is crying in their ears, screaming in their ears, stop. Come home. Come back home. You don't belong here. This isn't for you. And I pray that that still small voice gets louder and louder and louder as we stand here in agreement and we bind the spirit of addiction.
Yes.
And we bind the spirit of depression. And we bind all things that take them away from you. Lord, we just call them in. Call them in. Lord, we pray for your spirit to wash over our community, our households, our schools. Just wash over our community. The spirit of revival, just take over.
Yes.
Lord. Lord, we just thank you. Thank you for your healing that's taking place right now in Pastor Chad.
Yes.
And I'm sure he's thanking you for the little bit of rest he's getting.
Yes. Amen.
Oh, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. All right. Yes, we did. I'm going to get into that right now. Yeah. Thank you, Gina. That's beautiful.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Whew.
Speaking of that meeting on Tuesday, how great is our God? So we've already discussed Pastor Chad being sick. And I know that he's told you guys about this meeting that we've had at the high school. We went in there for multiple reasons, actually. We've been trying to get a foot in the door with the high school, and we've made some major breakthroughs this week. So we're trying to get in a few different aspects, right? One, we just tried to get the doors to be open to us so that we can just set up an adult prayer meeting there on the school campus. And at first, there was some, like, excitement but kind of reservations in regards to that. And then we sat down with the teacher today who actually was one of my youth kids from 2016. And when she saw me, she remembered me instantly. She was like, man, you had such a huge impact on Vincent. She's like, he still talks about you to this day. And so I'm like, praise God, man. Like, I got excited. I'm like, man, I really hope this means we're in. And so she offered us a place to come in. And she got really excited because I guess they've been communicating. Her and the principal, they've been communicating about the idea of us being there to pray. And not only are they excited about it, but there's faculty that are also excited about participating in it. So they gave us the space. They were like, why can't you be outside of the church? Why does it have to be here, right? Well, we know there's power in prayer, but we want to be on the grounds praying for them, for that place. And it's not just about the students. We want to pray for the faculty. We want to pray for the principal, just everybody. Like, we want that entire ground to just vibrate with the presence of the Lord. Amen? And so that's what we're doing. And on top of that, we're trying to start a Christian-based, faith-based club where I'm going to get access to the high school during high school hours and have access to students and create a club. And one of the things that you need, well, there's a couple things that you need in order to do this. You need to, one, have a teacher willing to give up her time and her classroom and sit over this while you're taking, while it's going down. Let me tell you something about our school. Our teachers are stretched. Like, they are stretched. They barely get a lunch break. They barely get bathroom breaks. They barely have enough time to correct their paperwork and stuff. So basically what we're doing is we're asking the teacher to stretch herself more. We found a teacher. So praise God, we found a teacher who's willing to do it. She's excited to do it. And one of the things we're telling her was like, look, you don't have to participate. You just have to oversee and make sure things are appropriate, you know. And so I'll bring you dinner. I'll bring you a salad, or I'll bring you some fruit or something. You can grade your paperwork, and we'll just do our thing, and maybe there's a way that we can help out. As we're sitting there having this meeting, we'll try not to get emotional right now. I found out some staggering things that really hit me, and I about started bawling right there in class. You know, there's 780 something students in our schools, and over 450 of them are considered homeless. I didn't know that. I did not know that. Now, to say considered homeless means that they don't have a place of their own. They might have a place where they're living with somebody else, but they don't have their own place. There's a lot of families in this town, in Chino Valley, that are hurting, and it just destroyed me. I did not know that we have a place here in Chino Valley called, and I do want to tell you guys the name of this place because I think it's very important that we support in any way we can. Bear with me for a second. There's a thrift store called Kaylin's Closet or something like that. Okay, these people, it's in the high school? Yes. So these people are not only offering clothes to the students and family, but giving them a place to shower and feeding them. So it's crazy. I mean, I about fell apart when I heard this. I was trying to control myself because God's made me a sissy. Yes. Praise God. So I will be getting more information and I'll be putting it out here as I get it, but that's something that has just been on my heart ever since we had this meeting. And so there is definitely a need. I feel like the school is ripe for God's presence to be in there more now than ever. You know, we used to have our presence in there back around 2012 or something when Matt and Ruthie were here. Matt used to be there a lot, and then Prescott, Word of Life here in Chino, they used to go there. And anyways, there's not really much of a presence. There is one Christian athletic club, but there's really not a whole lot of athletic kids. There's a lot of people that are missed because it's an athletic club, not just a Christian club. So I'm really excited about it. Doors are opening for us there, and it's going to give us an opportunity to get in there. One of the other things that we've noticed is the school's in a lot of need. And so one of the things we had proposed to the principal and the teacher was, what can we do as a community to help the school? So we're setting it up so that we can go in there and paint the girls' locker room, and purchase some blinds and finding some volunteers to give a day or two to get in there and do some painting, putting some blinds up, making the place a little bit better, maybe a little bit of landscape, but Chad will get into all that later. But we've got a huge foot in, and they are super excited to have us. So the temperature has changed big time, and I'm super excited about that. So I want you guys to forgive me because I was asked to do this morning. And so I am super unprepared because, I was really excited this morning. I woke up like I was a good kid. I had my coffee. I sat down with my wife. We read. We studied. I got my stuff ready to go for the youth. Super excited. Got dressed, ready to go shopping and all this other stuff. And then I got called to come in here, and I'm like, oh, man. I love coming in here, but at the same time, it's like I was not prepared. So I want you guys to bear with me. This isn't going to be like a verse-by-verse type thing, study that you guys are used to with Chad, but I feel like it's pretty strong. It's warm in here. So this is something that God has revealed to me through my personal studies. I may have told you guys that one of the things I've been doing in my personal walk with Christ is every day I pray to God and I ask God to reveal areas to me in my life that need to be refined. I ask Him for His lead, to lead me, to guide me. And I just ask Him for His wisdom. And I ask Him for His wisdom and to lead me so that I may have the courage and ability to reflect God in every area of my life. Right? And so one of the things that came up, the word that kept hitting me all day, all week, was wisdom. And it really stood out to me. So I'm reading this book by Greg Moore. He is one of the teachers at Caris Bible College, where I'm a full-time student. And in it, he said that his goal and vision for his life and ministry is to help people grow in wisdom, maturity, and grace. And that he received this vision by reading a verse that described Jesus' life in Luke 2:52. And it says, "And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man." The Greek word here for favor is charis, which is also translated in many different Bibles as the word grace. And the word stature includes the concept of maturity. And so one of the things I've been trying to do in my walk and going deeper with God is trying to understand the meanings in the Greek and Hebrew, and understanding how they're used and how they're applied, so that I can get into a deeper study, a more, I guess, intellectual study with what the scripture is saying, right? And trying to understand the way that it's just asking God to reveal a deeper revelation to me. So I read the scripture again, and I changed the words to "Jesus increased in wisdom and in maturity and in grace with God and man." But it led me to the question, what is wisdom, right? Proverbs 4:7 says that the beginning of wisdom is this: get wisdom, and whatever you get insight. Or the NASB says understanding. So that was my understanding of what wisdom was: just obtaining knowledge, just getting knowledge, right? Having knowledge, right? Wisdom. But it's deeper than that, and it blew my mind. Like, I was just like, okay, I thought it was cut and dry. Wisdom, get knowledge, read your word. I understand God's word, right? I looked at the definition on Google, and the definition on Google of wisdom was the sound of an action or decision with regard to the application of experience, knowledge, and good judgment. The application. So it's not just gaining. It's the knowledge of how to use what you've gained. So I really love this part. In the book, Greg Moore, he said, "How can we measure our growth and increase in it?" He goes on to say that what the Lord revealed to him about the definition of wisdom was that wisdom is the grace to prioritize and correctly apply knowledge for the greatness of common good. I really like this part. He says it's the ability to know what to do, to know what principles to apply in a situation that will produce life and good fruit and leave people better off. It is the grace to help us keep the main thing. Man, that hit me. Because that's an area where I've really been working on. Right? How am I going to apply what I've been learning, right? How am I going to apply, okay, God forgave me with no strings attached, so I'm going to look at my mom and say, you know what? I love you. I don't need to know why. I don't need to know how you could leave me in the streets. I don't need to understand what you were thinking, but I forgive you and I love you. Or how to go and save my daughter from the man who just choked her and be filled with compassion over this man and genuinely pray that God would soften his heart and reveal to him what he's doing to his family. That was a change for me, because I wasn't filled with anger. So I'm learning how to apply the knowledge and wisdom that I'm gaining from God, and I'm reaping the benefits of it. He's changing me into a different person, and it's because He's showing me how to use what I'm gaining. He's showing me how to apply to my life so that I can be what I'm asking for. I genuinely want to be a reflection of Him. Am I going to hit that spot every time? No. But man, I want to. God, I want to. He goes on to say that a pastor of Christian Cultural Center in Brooklyn, New York, said that this generation is information rich and wisdom poor. That is a sad but true statement. With these stupid devices and computers and everything that we have, we can know everything. We can know a little bit more than we need to know, right? We're definitely not intended to know all that. I'm just saying. We definitely are in a generation where information is at the touch of a button. Everybody thinks that they know so much now in this time. But to know is one thing, but to have the ability to apply what you know in a manner that will not only better yourself, but better the circumstances of the community that we're in. How can we take what we're gaining in this wall, in these four walls, and apply it to our communities, to our neighbors, to our loved ones, to our friends, right? This building was never intended to keep us bound, right? We're called to be disciples of the word so we can go and spread the gospel throughout the community, right? I'm so excited. I'm getting ready to go on a mission trip for school, and I'm just like, oh, let me go. Let me at it. I can't wait. Oh, man. He goes on to say to fully understand the concept of wisdom, we must know the difference between wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. He said that knowledge is the accumulation of truth and facts. Understanding is the proper arrangement of truth and facts so you know where you have filed it and can easily access it. And that wisdom is the proper application of truth and fact so you can apply the right principle of truth to the right person at the right time. Proverbs 15:2 says, "The tongue of the wise makes knowledge acceptable, but the mouth of fools spout folly." So a wise person knows how to apply his knowledge appropriately, but the foolish man says the first thing that comes to his mind without regards to how it's going to affect the person he's talking to, right? And justifies it. Well, it's the truth. Not all truth is meant to be revealed, man. We got to consider what we're doing, right? We can easily cause devastation. We can cause separation. We can cause all kinds of bad things within our body, inside of our households. Maybe not intending it, but that's a good way to cause division, you know, by not being willing to think before you speak. My grandma used to tell me that when I was a kid. You better be careful what you say. You need to think before you speak. Your mouth's going to get you in trouble. Man, she was right. She was right. But we get arrogant in a way, you know. We're so willing to spout the first thing that comes to our mind, we don't think about anybody. That's not what I got planned for you. But I'm just saying, like, you know, it goes together because people will always ask, so you're saying it's okay to sin? No. I'm saying it's okay to apply the word of God and watch God transform you from the inside out without you even having an idea it's coming. You know what I mean? I was fighting and kicking the whole way. Before I know it, I'm in Bible school and I'm preaching. Right? God is good. Proverbs 4:6-9 says, "Do not forsake her, and she will keep you. Love her, and she will guide you. The beginning of wisdom is this: get wisdom, and whatever you get insight or understanding. Prize her highly, and she will exalt you. She will honor you. If you embrace her, she will place on your head a graceful garland. She will bestow on you a beautiful crown." And I want to go to Proverbs 3:13-18. And it says, "Blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding, for the gain from her is better than the gain from silver, and her profit better than gold. She is more precious than jewelry, and nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand, and in her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. Those who hold her fast are called blessed." This verse reveals to us the value of wisdom that we receive: happiness, length of days, honor, pleasantness, peace, and life. Sounds a lot like the fruits of the Spirit, right? I believe that knowledge or understanding how to use the knowledge gained is the difference between knowing we have the ability to heal and actually seeing healing manifest in the physical, right? A lot of us can get into our word and understand the word, right? But as I keep saying, if we learn how to apply that word, we tap into a potential, I guess, or a gift that, if you will, that God has given us, right? I've been having a struggle with a good friend of mine who he travels the country doing evangelism, and we have an argument or disagreement, strong disagreement, that you cannot heal. We all in this room know that that's fake, right? He said that you cannot heal. And I point a lot of scripture out, right? And he says, well, unless it's in God's will, God does the healing. Well, I'm like, well, it is in God's will, right? God has come to give us life and life in abundance, right? Jesus said that we are called to do greater things than he did, right? So we know that he healed the sick. We know he raised the dead. And his arrogance was, I read the Bible 8 days, eight hours a day for 2 years. And if you're so confident in that, let's go to the hospital. It's sad how many people are bound by this religious thinking. And then they want to justify their way of thinking by saying, let's go to the hospital and heal everybody. I mean, come on, guys. Like, that's not real. You know what I mean? That's not realistic to sit here and play these things. I refuse to believe that. I know that God said that we're called to do greater things than he. I know that I've received the knowledge that I have given, a God-given inheritance, to speak truth, to speak to mountains with faith the size of a mustard seed, and know that when I do, things are going to happen. But if you choose to sit there and put God in a box and try to say that things can't happen and things can't manifest because of whatever reason you come up with, then you're not standing on the knowledge that God has given us. You're not using your knowledge. So to get puffed up with everything and be able to refute everything you can think of and be on the side of disproving everybody and all that stuff, you're never going to see anything manifest in your life. If you're going to continue to say, well, my diabetes, and God has given me my diabetes because eventually I may get healed at some point and it's going to be a testimony, well, then you're falling on a lie. And so wisdom is something that we don't have to just gain, but we have to use. So coming to church every Sunday and every Wednesday and all this stuff, and you're puffing yourself up and you're doing these Bible studies and you're doing all this readings and all this other stuff, but you're not standing on the truth that you're gaining, what's the point? And so I'm really passionate about it, especially with this, because, man, I'm trying so hard to dive deep right now. I'm trying so hard to dive deep because I want God's truth to manifest in my life. I want love. I want peace. I want joy. I want long-suffering. I want to be able to go through my friend page and come across everybody that I see and say, hey, be healed in the name of Jesus. You can be set free from a pain. You can be set free from addiction. ADHD is a lie from the pit of you know where. Depression is a lie from the pit of you know where. All these pills and psych meds that they drug and drain everybody with are a lie from that same pit. I'm not saying that there aren't some places that are needed. That's not what I'm saying. And I would never tell anybody to throw all their pills away and just trust God. I wouldn't say that. That's reckless. But start standing on the knowledge that we've gained. If there's areas in our lives where we're finding ourselves getting caught and being comfortable, we need to stop being comfortable, because we're not supposed to be comfortable. We're not. We're supposed to be discipled, and we're supposed to go outside of our Jerusalem and preach the word of God. We're supposed to share the gospel. There's got to be, I mean, everybody in here in this room should touch at least one person a day. We are all over the place. Right? So, anyways, that's what I had for you guys. I pray that that's touched somebody. I pray that that's been an encouragement to somebody. It's really been an encouraging thing for me, that prayer. I've been saying it for 2 years. God, reveal all areas of my life that need to be refined. If there is an area that I'm falling short in, I want to know. Reveal it to me. You know how hard that is? Especially when somebody else tells you, hey, you're messing up right here. It's hard. It's hard to look yourself in the mirror and say, God, show me. That is a scary prayer to ask, if you think about it, because something's going to hit you and you're going to be like, wait, what? I've been struggling there? No. I'm not going to lie to you. Well, you guys know me. This room knows me. I'm a sarcastic booger. Anybody in here don't know that? I'm sarcastic. Sometimes I'm downright mean. Man, I've been mean to my kids, my daughter, and I'm just like, man, God showed it to me, and it's like, wow. What are you doing? Like, you're supposed to build them up. You're supposed to encourage them. You're supposed to show them how to be treated by a man so they can find a man to treat them the same, if not better. Like, you're supposed to be an example of what you want them to have, right? And so God's been revealing these areas to me, you know? Be more kinder. Try not to be so quick to write somebody off, right? Have more compassion, you know? I'm sure a lot of you guys have experienced this, but, like, the person I pass by all the time begging for money. You know, I would look at them and I'd be like, okay, they brought an ice chest. They brought a dog. That dog looks real healthy. They got a blanket. They got an umbrella. That person done went through some things to get that stuff all the way down at the bottom of the mountain of the mall. Okay, you are parked somewhere. You went through a whole lot to get there. How come you can't do a whole lot to get to your job? But it's not up to us to determine the circumstances that they're in. It's not up to us. Right? Give them your $5 and pray over it, right? And that's another thing God's been doing to me. So I just like, okay, God, like, it's not my money, it's yours. I'm going to give it to him. But anyways, I'll pray this out, and I'll let you guys go a little bit early. Look at that, I'm nice. Father God, Lord, I just thank you for this message that you've given to me of wisdom. Lord, I just thank you that you're showing me ways to apply the things that we've learned. Lord, I pray that this message has fallen on softened ears, soften hearts and open ears. And God, I just thank you that you continue to lead and guide, that you continue to show us how to walk in the wisdom that we've gained, how to apply it to every aspect of our life, how to better not only ourselves, but the people that we're around, our loved ones, our friends, the people we care about, our acquaintances, the lady at the supermarket that's always cussing her cussing. Lord, just continue to fill us with your grace and your mercies. In Jesus' name, amen.